This is News in No Time, Tony Cotts. Presumptive Democratic nominee Barack Obama and his now former rival Hillary Clinton met in private last night for the first time since Obama clinched the Democratic nomination. Two of the Air Force's top military leaders are forced to resign after a shipment of U.S. nuclear warheads are accidentally shipped to Taiwan, and U.S. diplomats are detained by Zimbabwean police. In a few moments, we'll talk about those headlines with two of our regular journalists on Reporters Roundtable. But first, Hillary Clinton is reportedly going to wrap up her presidential campaign tomorrow. We get the latest now from Beth Fooey. She covers presidential politics for the Associated Press. Welcome, Beth. A lot has been written about Hillary's expected concession tomorrow to Barack Obama, but before we talk about that, the two former rivals met last night at Senator Dianne Feinstein's house. What happened there?
One of these political scavenger for the media, they met private. Senator Obama's traveling press was made aware of this thing until they were taxiing down the runway on the way to Chicago. So it left everybody scrambling to figure out going on.
Beth, let me interrupt you. We're having some technical problems hearing you. We're going to see if we can fix it and come right back to you. And in the meantime, we're going to run into Reporters Roundtable with the guests who are with me now. We are joined by Bob Butler, who is an independent journalist and president of the Bay Area Black Journalists Association. Also with us is Aaron Aubrey Kaplan, a contributing editor at the LA Times op-ed section. Hello, folks.
Good morning.
Hi, Tony.
It's nice to see both of you. We were going to try to get back with Beth as soon as we can, and she was going to talk about what happened last night between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. But let me ask you, both of you, starting with you, Aaron, are you getting the sense that both candidates are doing now what they can to reunite the party post-Tuesday?
I think so. That's a tall order. It's going to take more than a meeting at Dianne Feinstein's house. This is also unscripted, unprecedented. It's very hard to know what unity will look like a week from now, 2 weeks from now, a month from now. I just want to just say for the record how astounded I am that Barack Obama has the nomination. It feels surreal almost. So, and the whole idea of unity, will be, I think it's going to be redefined, really.
Really? Let me ask you, Bob, did you see Hillary's speech on Tuesday night?
I did.
And the tone of it was one that the Barack supporters were not expecting. It was not as conciliatory as they had hoped. What would you expect her to do and sound like and say on Saturday?
Well, based on the speech the other night, I really don't know what to expect, because I thought she was going to give a concession speech and basically, tell her supporters to support Barack Obama. But obviously she's still holding on to hope of getting something. And, her question, what does Hillary want? Well, I think nobody is going to be surprised that she wants to be the VP now. I'm looking forward to hearing what she has to say, because if she comes out and says, okay, for me, I'm done, and Barack Obama is the nominee, and I know all you people have said that if I'm not the nominee, you're going to vote for John McCain or won't vote at all, but don't do that. Vote for Barack Obama. That's what she needs to do in order to get the Democratic Party back together.
Aaron, you think she really wants to be VP?
Oh, absolutely. She said so, which is kind of unusual that she kind of announced, yes, I want to be VP. And in a way, she still I think she wants to control this thing somehow, even though she's not the nominee. I think that is absolutely bad for party unity. Essentially holding a gun to Barack's head, saying, I want to be your running mate, and he has said, I'm going to, he's gotten a committee together, and he said, you will hear from me when I pick my running mate. But it's still a weird tension. Like Bob said, it does not feel over in that sense. And that, I think, is, there's still a lot of unease out there.
Well, to follow that point, within the last couple of days, there's been a big movement on the Internet for Clinton supporters who are vowing to support John McCain. In fact, the response has been so strong, there are even reports that the Republican National Committee has bought the domain ClintonForMcCain.com, if you can believe that. Clinton and Obama
are
pretty similar on policy issues. So why would a Democrat switch loyalties like that? Is it there that much anger against Obama, or anger because Clinton lost?
I think a lot of the Clinton supporters felt like, especially the women, felt like, hey, we have a chance to put a woman in the White House. You know, and this was actually her best shot. And I believe if Barack Obama was not in the race, she would be the nominee. But he came in and he really energized a lot of people. He got the young people involved. But I think there are still people in this country that will not vote for him because of his skin color. That's no other way to say it. And those people say they would rather support a McCain than vote for a black man, which I think is wrong. That's why it's so important for Hillary to tell these people, no, if you support me, you got to support him.
Now, she could tell them that, Aaron, but her 18 million supporters don't have to do what she says. Do you think she can deliver those votes for Obama?
You mean if she's on the ticket?
Whether she's on the ticket or not.
In
terms of party unity, can't she do
it? I think that's the power she's wielding. She's kind of holding over his head saying, you know, unless such and such happens, you're not going to get those votes. I can deliver those votes. And there's still a sense that, you know, that's what I mean when I say she's in a way sort of controlling this process. And the idea, though, that her supporters would even think about voting for McCain, who is so against a lot of principles, not just democratic principles, but feminist principles, et cetera, is really astonishing and speaks not just badly of the party, but of this country. And I have to agree with Bob that people, there's a resentment about Hillary, sort of this, you know, she was robbed. This moment was taken from her, robbed her of the chance of being the first woman nominee, but also that she was robbed by a black man. I think that resentment runs makes it run that much deeper.
Well, let's go inside the Obama camp for a moment, if we could pretend to do that. How badly does Obama need those 18 million votes in order to beat John McCain in November?
I think he needs some of those votes. There's no question about that. Whether he needs all of them, I can't tell you. I don't have that map that they have on CNN where they can punch up all the different scenarios. But I think he needs some of them. And I think without getting Hillary Clinton supporters, it'll be tougher for him to win. I mean, let's face it, there'll be a lot of people that won't vote for Obama simply because of his color, which, you know, in this day and age, we've talked about how much progress we've made. Yes, we have. But you have some people that are going to run, you know, they're going to just go back to their roots and the way that they really feel, and they're not going to do it. A lot of other people will vote for him because he is a person of color, and also because of what he stands for. But I think he does need some of those Clinton supporters.
Let's talk a little bit about McCain and Clinton as well, because McCain is now challenging Obama to 10 town hall meetings. Here's how he put that.
I think Americans are tired of the ways presidential campaigns have been run in the past. All the gimmicks, the phony sound bites and photo ops, campaigns that always seem to be more about the candidate's interests than the public's. And I hope that Senator Obama agrees. Joint town halls would show we both understand that this election couldn't be more important to the future security and prosperity of American families.
So, one-on-one, who do you like in a one-on-one between those two in a town hall? To whose benefit is this?
Well, of course, John McCain is hoping it's to his. He's done pretty well in those, you know, his Straight Talk Express. I think he does well in that form, but I think Barack does well in that too.
Yeah, I mean,
he shows his charisma. I actually went to an Obama rally to see what the fuss was about a year and a half ago, which seems like a lifetime ago, and I got it. And McCain, I hear, plays well in that setting too. So it'll be very interesting.
Yeah, I think, you know, for Obama to do well in a situation like that, he has to basically just be himself. And you know what McCain's going to try and do, to my way of thinking, is he'll try to say, well, look, but you don't have the experience to do the kind of stuff that I've done. And Obama's response, of course, would be, well, yeah, but you're not changed. You're the same old stuff. And in a town hall setting, it depends on who the people in the crowd are and what kind of reaction you're going to get. If, you know, if the Republicans can get a lot of their people in there that support McCain, then, of course, it'll seem like McCain wins all of the debates. You know, they talk about having an independent commission, you know, stack, you know, bring the people in. I'm always suspicious of that because, you know, some parties have been very, very good at stacking the deck in their favor, depending on where you are.
Are you surprised, either of you, Aaron or Bob, that the polls show currently that McCain and Obama are in a virtual dead heat?
No, I'm not surprised. Again, you know, this is completely unscripted, unprecedented. I never know week to week where Obama's going to land. After, you know, so I'd say from this, it's like right now everybody's both got an A in class, and it's theirs to lose.
Right. Yeah, there's no question. McCain has a lot of the support of the old diehards, the GOP, even conservative Democrats who would like to support him. But Obama has the young people who have come out in tremendous numbers to support him. So a dead heat right now, I don't think, is a surprise. What's going to end up making the difference, I think, are the debates and are as we get down the road in the campaign. And, you know, we haven't seen, you know, the rovification of Obama yet, you know, and we know that's going to be coming, although, you know, I don't know how much dirt they can dig up on Obama. I mean, I'm sure there's some things, but it seems to me like he's a pretty clean-cut guy and there may not be much to dig up on.
But, you know, I have to say one thing, and that is this gets to the conversation you had earlier about this whole, you know, Obama's nomination. That is, whatever, even if there's no dirt to dig up on him, this is a question of national identity. People vote president, they vote in a presidential election, they're voting for a guy who will represent them. And the idea of a black man representing all of us is a really radical one. And that's what we're voting on that we've never voted on before.
And a scary one to a lot of people.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're going to have Beth Fooey coming back in just a second. So before I say goodbye to you, do you think that the campaign going forth will be gentlemanly, if I can use that word, or will it be nasty between Obama and McCain?
I think on Obama's part, he's been a gentleman so far, and I don't know that he'll change that. I don't think that McCain he's been a gentleman too, but, you know, in politics, the candidate doesn't control the message anymore. So I think the candidate's going to get nasty, and it may not be because McCain wants it to or Obama wants it to, but because their supporters, their PACs will put these ads on the air. You know, I mean, we're going to be hearing about Barack Hussein Obama an awful lot over the next couple of months, and it won't be because McCain wants it to happen.
All right, let me ask you both to just sit tight for a minute. Beth, are you out there?
I sure am.
All right, let's bring you back in. When we last talked to you, you were going to tell us what happened at Dianne Feinstein's house last night when Obama and Hillary Clinton got together. The wires say that she left them downstairs on a sofa with a bottle of water, and she went upstairs to do her work, and she didn't see them again until it was all over. So what did they do? Beth? Oh, we lost her again. Okay, well, cell phone. Maybe when Obama or McCain become president, they can fix the cell phone problems that we have.
Put some more tires
when we, well, we, that's why I asked you guys to stick around just in case.
Okay.
So we were talking about the fact that it may be that the candidate doesn't control the message all the time. Well, you don't buy that?
Well, McCain has said this before. I mean, and one positive thing, McCain, who was slimed himself back in 2004, racially, by the way, has pledged, I'm not bringing that dirt into the campaign. But he has said, I think it was over an ad that aired not that long ago. I don't even remember the ad, but he said, I didn't like that ad, but hey, I can't control the message. I think sometimes that's true, sometimes it's disingenuous.
That was in the North Carolina?
Yes, South in North Carolina. Carolina.
Yeah.
Let me ask you another question, because it seems to me that this time around, more so than in 2004 or in 2000 or going back even before then, that the vice presidential candidate is really going to be important. Do you share that view or no?
I don't think it was important in 2000. Because nobody voted for Cheney. They voted for Bush, and they got Cheney. If Hillary has her way, it's going to be important this year because she'll be on the ticket. I personally don't think that's a smart move on Obama's part, because you don't want to have another Cheney-like vice president who really controls everything, and you're there just kind of being the puppet, which is the way most people perceive the administration now. So I don't know how important – I think it will be important. I'm not sure how important it's going to be, though.
Well, don't you think that Cheney sort of energized that office in a way that it had not been energized before? That's an interesting
choice.
That's
one way to word it.
A little too much energy.
Okay.
On the Republican side, then, who would be good for McCain?
Oh, gosh. Wasn't there a rumor that Condoleezza Rice was in the running? Because you want that contrast. I think that there is a history of, picking a running mate that is not similar to you – or from a different part of the country or something. And I think, the Obama-Clinton thing would be, they're too similar, frankly. I don't think that
position-wise.
Position-wise. Of course, different in other ways, but I think, as Bob says, it's too much a sense of, it's a Dick Cheney syndrome. She I think, like, she wants to maintain control, which is clear now, and I don't think that would disappear. If she were a running mate, I think she would.
If she was a running mate, you would have her as the vice president and Bill Clinton as the vice president in waiting.
And
so
that will be the issue because he's had no trouble making news just as the husband of a candidate. Can you imagine as being the first husband? I mean, people will be seeking him out, asking his counsel, asking his advice on the things that the president's doing. And you don't need to be looking over your shoulder that much.
Well, it looks like we're not going to get Beth back, but so we'll end this on this one quick note. Your take on Michelle Obama, she seems to be rising. Her public persona and the focus on her is now becoming broader as a result, I think, of him. We know that he's going to be the nominee. Mm-hmm. How is she playing out for you?
For me? Yeah. Oh, I love her. She's one of, you know, she's my age. She's one of us. I think that what's really making me uncomfortable, and I think the nastiness has started, there's a real zeroing in on what Michelle Obama means. And Americans are looking at her like, why is she doing this? Why is she saying that? What is that fist thing about?
Yeah.
You know, and I cringe at this idea that we are now examining black people's culture like it's an exotic foreign species that we've never seen before. We saw with the Jeremiah Wright things, you know, to some degree. But this is going to get more and more intense, and I shudder to think how she's going to be read in public. I mean, you know, what she means to me doesn't matter. It's how she plays in Peoria.
What do you say, Bob? You get the last word. We got about 30 seconds.
Well, you know, they're making a big deal about the fist bump, but nobody questions the thumbs up, which is a very common, you know, great job.
Or the two hands up with the V's, the Nixon V's.
This is probably generational, too. You know, young people
I guess so.
And you know, this campaign, this will be different from any other campaign going down the stretch because we're in uncharted waters. Mm. And people don't know how to act. And, you know, a lot of these folks, even those of us in the media who are covering this, don't look like us.
That's true. That's true. That's a good place for us to stop. Aaron, Bob, thank you so much for coming in studio. Bob Butler is an independent journalist and president of the Bay Area Black Journalists Association. Aaron Arbery Kaplan is a contributing editor at the Los Angeles Times op-ed section. They both join me here at NPR West.